Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
There we go. Are you still there, Jimmy?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. We've had some technical challenges. And are you doing part of the Miracle Share conference, the virtual?
No, I'm not part of that.
Oh, that's surprising. I'm sure
you'll...
I know, sometimes I don't get invited to things, too, and I'm like, oh. And then, you know what happens, too, sometimes is people say, yeah, we invited you, and we didn't hear back from you. I'm like, oh. Yeah, there's been a lot of internet outages and technical difficulties with stuff going on. It's an intense time. And we are here to relieve some of that intensity and be truly helpful. I'm looking forward to our class today. We've got people coming in on the line. On the phone lines, on the web lines, and while we're getting ready for our start of our class, what I would love to do is just ask you, what have you been up to? Because I get your emails, I see what you've been up to, and maybe not everybody who's listening would know. Can you fill us in some of the wonderful, exciting things you're doing?
Oh, my goodness. I have to stop and think for a moment because it has definitely been a rush of wonderful creative energy of late. So I would think the biggest thing that I've been working on lately, it's like an egg that's just getting ready to hatch, is a movie that I'm producing for the Unity Church movement. One of the primary teachings in Unity is a book written by their founder, Charles Fillmore, called The 12 Powers. And so all of this year, I have been working on that film, which followed my journey in January and February when I traveled to the border of Syria and stood on a hill overlooking a village held by ISIS, along with rabbis and priests and Muslim imams. We had a group of people from all three Abrahamic faiths looking literally down on the war. And millions of people at a given moment stopped and prayed and sent their love and their energy for 15 minutes to that situation in Syria. And it was remarkable. So that forms the foundation of that movie. And then I interviewed about 45 ministers from Unity, and that movie is going to be out in Unity churches all over the country in January. So if any of you belong to a Unity church, keep a watch out for that. And there have been other prayer vigils and, oh my goodness, all sorts of amazing things that I've been focused on. But right now I'm just focused on being present here on this call. So that's what I'll do for now.
Well, you know, one of the things that I love that you're doing is these prayer vigils around the world, because I absolutely know the power of prayer. And I had a wonderful opportunity, gosh, it was a long time ago now, maybe 10 years ago. I wrote an article for Signs of Mind magazine about the power of prayer, and I interviewed Lynn McTaggart and some other people, and some of the beautiful data that people have collected about the power of prayer to make things more peaceful, to see crime rates dropping in major cities while people are committing to spiritual practice on a daily basis. It's a powerful way to transform our environment and our world. And we, well, gosh, I'm already starting the class. I better back off a bit.
Yeah, right.
But I love what you're doing. And I want to say to people who are coming on the line here, you know, we love to do all this, and we're happy to volunteer our time. And, of course, we love to get paid, too. But a lot of what we do, what I do, what you do, Jimmy, it's funded by donations. And Power of Love Ministry is it's a nonprofit organization, and we're a teaching ministry. And what you're doing, Jimmy, is something that we're supporting. You're gathering people and traveling around the world to pray, to see things change in the world because we change our mind about it. And that's, again, there I go. I'm doing the class again. But I just want to say, as you're listening to Jimmy and inspired by him, as you no doubt will be, just remember that a lot of the work he's doing is funded by donation. And so I encourage you to consider making a tithe or an offering to him. And Jimmy has recorded all the Course in Miracles lessons in song, which is an incredible accomplishment.
And also the text. I'm just finishing the text this week.
Oh, my gosh. Good for you.
Yeah. The entire text to music has been quite an experience.
Wow. Yeah. Gosh, do you ever sleep?
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, it's like me, you know, when you're so inspired, it's you just have so much energy for
That's
doing
right.
the work, and it feels so creative and it continuously inspiring. It definitely
yes.
fills the well every day. Yeah, that's beautiful. When will you have that available?
Well, it's been available all year. We call it the Living Text. One of the things that I found in reading the text myself is that there are two ways to read it. You can read it like you would just normally read a book, and I think this is when people sometimes have a difficult time with the language, with the rhythm. But when you read it, or in this case, listen to the text of A Course in Miracles, as if it's Jesus sitting next to you just talking, because that is how it came about. It was as if Jesus was just sitting next to Helen, and they were having a conversation. So when you hear it read to you like that, it goes so much deeper. So what the Living A Course in Miracles text is I take two pages every day, and the first thing you hear is a crackling fire, and then you feel like you're sitting around the fire with Jesus with a few of his friends. And then he just begins sharing, and I read those two pages as if it's just Jesus sitting in the fire sharing this wisdom. And then what I do is I take four or five lines from each of those two pages and write and record a song. So it always ends with a song based on what was being taught in those two pages. So we've had that going for a whole year. As I said, I have 15 more to go, and then it's totally done. I'll be finished this week, actually. It'll take people through the end of this year, and then we're gonna launch it again at the beginning of the year, and that may be something for you and I to talk about as well, Jennifer.
Definitely, yes.
It's been pretty fun. It's been pretty fun. I'll tell you that. And then because for the last 2 years, I've been doing this enormous project for A Course in Miracles, first recording every single lesson in the workbook to music, and then doing the entire text this year. I'm in this habit of writing and recording music every single day. So starting in January, I'm going to be doing that for Unity. I'm going to be doing every day music for the Daily Word, which is something that Unity puts out for, I don't know, 100 years or something.
Right.
And so I'll be doing the musical Daily Word because I've had so much fun doing A Course in Miracles for the last 2 years.
Wow. That is beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful way to have your daily practice. And
it sure is. Well, music, as we all know, touches us in a very different way. I was actually talking about this at a church yesterday, how when we hear someone talking, just like we're talking here today, what happens is the information goes in what I call the front door. In other words, right through the mind, which means that it has to cross through a number of filters based upon our past ideas, our past decisions, our concepts, all of these things based upon the past. It has to go through those filters, and a lot of it gets filtered out, and maybe some of it reaches the heart. The thing about music is that it slides in through the back door, and it enters the heart intact. That's why we can listen to music that's in another language and love it, because mm-hmm. it's not about the intellectual information. It's about the vibration that we're feeling. And on the other hand, we probably wouldn't sit and listen to an entire lecture in another language because we would have no idea what's going on mentally. But music, we will do that too. So maybe, Jennifer, what we could do as we begin here, I know you love to start with a prayer, and maybe as a way of entering into that prayer, we could enter into one of my favorite lessons in the course, which is "In Quiet I Receive God's Word Today," and maybe share that in music, and then go right from there into the prayer. Does that sound like a good idea?
That sounds like a great idea, and so I am going to get us started here. And as we're about to begin, I'd just like to make an announcement that if you're joining us for the first time today, and this is your first class that you're participating in, please know that we will post the recording so that you can go and get it and download it. And you can also share with friends, of course, but you can listen to the replay and you can download it as well. We never know exactly how long it's going to take to get it posted on the website. For instance, we had so many technical difficulties and my internet was down. We just are posting yesterday's class on the website today, but usually we can get it up faster than that. So you don't have to wonder. We will send you an email and let you know when the recording is available. And the other thing is that we're also transcribing all these classes, and the transcript is available for free download as well. And I think that's every announcement I need to make before we begin. So I'm going to invite everyone to take a breath. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and our teacher today is James Twyman. You're going to be dazzled and heart opened and go to the depths today. I know that. Our topic is power of prayer, the power of prayer. It's something that Jimmy and I both know a lot about. We're very excited about this topic. We can hardly wait to get started here. And one thing I encourage you to do is to go to jamestwyman.com or worldpeacepulse.com. One of the resources that Jimmy has is the entire Course in Miracles lessons in song, and also the text, Course in Miracles text. He is a prolific musician, writer, and filmmaker. He has got so many things going on. And I encourage you to check it out, because you will find that you will be inspired and uplifted every day of your year if you are in league with Jimmy Twyman. So welcome, Jimmy.
Hi, it's great to be here, Jennifer.
It is. And this is your second time doing a Living A Course in Miracles class. I'm so grateful.
Yes.
And we'll talk about later. We're doing a conference that you're hosting in Easter time next year. And but we're going to begin everything here today with a prayer in song and then a prayer in spoken word. So Jimmy's going to start with a prayer, and then I'm going to pray.
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm so happy to be here to share on my favorite subject in the history of the world, which is this transformative message that we find in A Course in Miracles. And the power of prayer is clearly a very important part of that. We hear it over and over in the Course. In fact, over and over, Jesus is asking us to be quiet and to receive the guidance from the Holy Spirit, to receive the power of that word. And so I want to start off with a beautiful song from one of my favorite lessons, which is, "In Quiet I Receive God's Word Today." To receive means to say yes. I'm open to receiving. And we are open to receiving God's word in this moment. Whatever it is that we need to hear. None of us are here by accident. We're here because we have been called and we said yes. So we are here to receive. And music is such a beautiful way to do that. We were just talking about this. Music is a way that slides in through the back door of our consciousness right to our heart. Or as St. Augustine liked to say, when we sing, we pray twice. Mm. So I'm just going to share this beautiful little chant. And wherever you are, you could just sing along. In quiet, I receive God's word today. In quiet, I receive God's word today. In quiet, I receive God's word. In quiet, I receive God's word today. In quiet, I receive God's word. Join me. In quiet, I receive God's word today. In quiet, I receive God's word. In quiet, I receive God's word today. In quiet, I receive God's word. Let this day be a day of stillness and of quiet listening. Your Father wills you hear His word today. He calls to you from deep within your mind. In quiet, I receive God's word today. In quiet, I receive God's word. In quiet, I receive God's word today. In quiet, I receive God's word. In quiet, I receive God's word today. In quiet, I receive God's word. In quiet, I receive God's word today. In quiet, I receive God's word.
So let's take that breath of love and gratitude together, our hearts so open, our minds so free. We are consciously partnering up with the higher Holy Spirit self to remember and recognize that our true identity is already as holy can be. We're already free. We're already perfect. We are grateful and thankful to dedicate our conversation, our divine listening, our dialogue to the Holy Spirit, to our healing, to our awakening. We are grateful to surrender all the blocks to love and to allow them to be permanently dissolved and resolved back to the nothingness. We are grateful and thankful to open our hearts and minds to the truth and to accept our freedom, to accept the healing that's happening right now. We are grateful to share the benefits with everyone because we're one with them. And in gratitude, we simply allow it to be, and so it is. Amen.
So it is. Amen.
Amen. Well, there's an example of the power of prayer, because my whole being is buzzing.
Yeah, mine too.
I feel the healing has already happened, and that is the power of prayer. You know, A Course in Miracles tells us over and over and over again, Jimmy, that our word is powerful, our mind is powerful, because we're not separate from God. And so it's up to us what we would like to experience. It's where we place our attention. And prayer is for rebooting us into remembering that our mind is the mind of God. We're one with God and not separate. And yet, I notice that a lot of Course in Miracles people don't really know that much about prayer. And I wonder if you would be willing to share something about your prayer practice and what you've learned about the power of prayer.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you so much for this subject. It is such an important subject, because prayer really is nothing more than an open communication. And when we are always in that communication with the Holy Spirit, or however you want to define that, then we're always being guided. We're always being inspired. The problem comes when we close off that communication, when we think that we can do it on our own, when we think we have everything that we need already, when we think that we can do anything, really. That is where we get into trouble. I think we can all relate to that. But when we realize that on our own we can do nothing, but when we are aligned with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that we can't do. And so for me, I like to think about it like a telephone. And I remember back when I was a teenager, I'm sure we can all remember a time like this in our lives when we were deeply in love with someone, say when you're in high school and you were in maybe your first relationship. And maybe what you would do is you would sit for hours on the phone with the other person on the other side, and you wouldn't even talk. You would maybe just listen to that person breathe, because you were just so infatuated with their presence. That's the way I like to think of prayer, actually. Like, we are always on the line with the beloved, and we don't have to be talking or asking for things. In fact, asking for something is really the opposite of prayer. That is a vast misunderstanding that almost every religion has, that we should go to God and ask for what we think we want. Because then that makes us believe that there is a God, a being outside of us, that somehow is keeping what we deserve away from us. And if we can just ask in a nice enough way, maybe that being will give it to us. And one of the things that I've come to realize, and I'll just say it bluntly, even though I'll have to follow up so you understand, I've been saying lately that I don't believe in a God. I don't believe that there is a God out there somewhere outside of me, outside of you, that is giving us or taking from us or anything like that. But that doesn't make me an atheist, because what I believe in is only God.
I believe that everything is that. And if I can commune with the energy of that reality within all things and all moments, then what could possibly be kept from me? That is, for me, what prayer is. And I remember back in the early part of my life, I think I understood this even before I understood it mentally. Being raised in a very Catholic family, I was always drawn to the mystical side of teachings. I would pray my rosary. I would just go into this ecstatic sort of feeling of the presence of God, of divinity. I remember when I was young, one of my favorite things to do was to go to this cemetery that was near our home. I'd ride my bike over there, and there was a particular statue of the Blessed Mother that I really liked, and I would just sit there, and I would just be present, and I would just feel this opening inside me. I wouldn't ask for anything. I would just be present in that love. And maybe that's what that lesson in quiet I receive God's word today means. We have to be quiet. That's what true prayer really is. And the other thing that I believe about prayer is that what we are really doing is we are affirming what is already true. We're not asking for something we don't think we have. It's about affirming what is already real. And isn't that what we hear in A Course in Miracles, page after page after page? What is real cannot be threatened. What is unreal does not exist. It's in the first page. So what we're called to do is to affirm what is real. And what is real, but that relationship, that oneness, that undeniable connection that we have with our source. So I don't believe in a God that is outside me, giving me things, taking things from me at all. I don't think that such a thing exists. I believe that everything is that. I am already fully contained within that. And to me, that gets very exciting, and that brings prayer to a whole nother level of presence. So basically, Jennifer, I may have answered that question in a long format, but to me, that's what gets me excited, just being open and present and affirming what is already true about that relationship, that oneness that we have with our Creator.
Well, I think you've made some really important points here. And one, I'll share with you something that I shared in one of these classes recently and that I share all the time is I don't say Holy Spirit as much as I say Higher Holy Spirit Self, because I've encountered a number of Course in Miracles students who, the way they talk about the Holy Spirit, it's as though the Holy Spirit is separate from them and outside of them. And so that's why I say Higher Holy Spirit Self a lot of the time, just to remind us that we're not separate. And this point about asking is such an important one, because I say we're not asking for money. We're asking for the remembrance of the fact that we are abundance. We are, our nature, our spiritual nature is abundance, not just abundant, but we are the energy of abundance. We are the energy of fullness. These spiritual qualities are our true essence and nature. So I want to ask you for a little more clarity, because people have read in A Course in Miracles to start their day with saying, "You decide for me," right?
Yes.
So if we're not asking God, but we're in this relationship with the Holy Spirit, the higher self, with Jesus, with the angels, because Jesus tells us about all these different things that we're in league with and that we can listen to and get guidance from, how does the asking work in terms of that relationship?
Yes, great question. The first thing is that, we'll say Jesus for now. Jesus starts with us where we are, not where we're not. In other words, let's begin in the present state of consciousness that we have. And clearly, in the present state of consciousness, in this physical experience, there is a belief in separation. That's the foundation of the physical experience, that I am separate from everything that I perceive. And so Jesus starts there. And the beginning point is to realize, before all of this can be dissolved into the next step or the next level, we have to realize that on my own, I can do nothing. On my own, I know nothing, because the experience of duality is the experience of being on my own, right? So Jesus starts with us right there. He's basically saying, I get that you think you're on your own here. You're not, but let's just start there. Because what you're being called into, and this is the key, you're being called into an experience. Not an intellectual experience, but a deeper awakening. And that's what we define as the experience of A Course in Miracles, right? And we can get lost in the rhetoric, we can get lost in the concepts if we want, and that's what will happen if we don't take that first step, which is what Jesus is asking us to do, which is to ask for guidance in everything. Ask what you should do in everything, because it's starting from that point of you believing that you are separate, that you are doing it on your own. And when you begin to say, on my own, I can do nothing. On my own, I literally am nothing. Then what I do is I begin to, it's like having this solvent that begins to get in between the spaces of this thought system, this framework that I've built to make all of this seem real, and it begins to dissolve, and those things begin to move apart. They begin to separate, and now there's some space for the Holy Spirit to enter into so that we can have an experience. And what is that experience other than I am one with God? Let me remember that I am one with God. And suddenly, in that moment, when we enter into that experience, it's no longer about me asking for guidance, because I am that guidance.
Yeah.
But that's the experience. We can't do that intellectually, because you just can't. We can try, we can pretend like we do, but it's like a child pretending to be a fireman. A child can pretend to be a fireman or a doctor or whatever they want to do, but that doesn't mean that they are ready for that experience yet. And we can say all the right words, I'm one with God, but until we have the experience of that dissolving, then there is only one thing for us to do, and that is to ask for guidance for anything, for everything, to wake up in the morning and every decision to say, what would you have me do? Because that's what creates that dissolving. Until we have that experience and we expand into the all, and then even that passes away. I don't know if that answered the question or not, but...
It answers it beautifully. I love what you're saying about the solvent. That's such a great metaphor, because that's... It's like I say, dissolve and resolve. It really is that we are asking to remember the truth. We're asking to realign. And when we're asking in that way, we are demonstrating our willingness.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's
the key to it all, is being willing to abandon this separation thought system and to remember that we're not separate.
Yeah.
So
and that's why Jesus says over and over, all you need is a little willingness.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do this on your own. You don't need to try and take on all the problems of the world and all. You don't need any of that. You just need to be a little bit willing to realize that none of it means anything, that you've given it all the meaning that it has. And that is that solvent. And I love that idea, too, because we have to be willing to receive that. But as long as we're guarded and guarding our thought system and guarding our independence and all of that, well, then that solvent can't get in and can't begin creating space between all of those things that we have claimed. And then the Holy Spirit can't bring us into the experience. But I do see this happening more and more. And for me, that's what A Course in Miracles is. It's a call. into the experience of divinity. It's not a call to understand what the heck Jesus is talking about, because we never will outside of the experience. But suddenly, when you're in the experience, it's like, okay, I see it now.
Yes, you know, you remind me, Jimmy, I was talking with a friend who had a near-death experience where he was, you know, headed down that tunnel. And for his whole, he was a young man at the time that it happened, and he had been an avid, he was very interested in the Inca ruins and the Mayan ruins and the lost treasures and the Egyptians and all these things. And as he was heading towards the light in this near-death experience, he said, in that moment, I knew everything, every secret about every civilization that I ever wondered about. I knew it all. And in that moment, I knew that only two things mattered, to love and to forgive.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
And he said, when I came back from that experience and I came back and I didn't die, he said, since then, I've been completely without fear because there is nothing to fear anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're talking about is that dissolution of all these constructs, these ego constructs, just leaves us with that pure truth, which can't be comprehended by the ego. It's incomprehensible to the ego. So don't even try to understand it through your ego mind.
Yeah. Oh, I love it when it becomes that simple. And that's such a valuable story that you just shared, because in the end, that's all that matters, to love and to forgive. And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. The Beatles had it all.
They did. They knew what they were talking about.
I would love to share one experience, which is maybe another level of this, or another layer of all of this. And that is when I began to realize not just the power of this prayer that we're talking about, which is that dissolving into the experience, but also what happens when we come together in massive numbers and focus on the truth, focus on only love, and the miracles that happen from that. That is one of the things that I've been very focused on for a number of years, is inspiring people to come together for mass synchronized meditations and prayer vigils, and to see time and time again the miracles that have come from that. And it all started very happenstance with me. It was actually 20 years ago this month that my first book came out, Emissary of Light. And when I first started traveling around promoting that book, I knew that I wanted to, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I was being called into this experience of deeper prayer, of understanding what prayer truly is. And I'll never forget, I was in London and I was on a radio program there, and it was at a time when we were really right on the verge of beginning another war with Iraq. It was 1998 when this happened. And I remember being on this radio program, and the show host was pushing me a little bit, asking me to you know, like, where does this really hit the ground, or is this just a bunch of New Age nonsense? And what came out of my mouth, I said, what I would really like to do is to go to Iraq and just sing the Muslim prayer of peace to Saddam Hussein. Maybe a miracle will happen. Well, without going into details, 3 days later, I'm walking into Baghdad, officially invited by Saddam Hussein himself. And I'm going to be doing a concert at the National Theater. And what happened, because it was all so fast and just this amazing thing that happened, back in 1998, I don't know if we can really remember this time, but not everybody had an email address in 1998.
Yeah.
The internet was not what it is now, but my agent had Well, I think she probably had about 300 or 400 email addresses herself. So she sent out a letter to all of those people, giving the time of this concert and asking everyone to stop and to focus their prayers of peace onto the Iraqi situation. And that letter went viral, and it began traveling all over the world. And by the time I did that concert, there were millions of people who had stopped and were focused and sending their prayers. And I remember feeling as if it was raining light and love. And there didn't seem to be any possibility of this being averted, this crisis. But something seems to shift in that moment. And all we know is that 3 days later, against all expectations, a peace accord was signed, and the war did not happen. And I could tell story after story after story that shows the same thing when millions of people come together, because I've done this in so many other countries, been invited to so many other countries that were at war. I'll just tell one final one, which was just this past February. I was going to Syria. I was going to be doing a concert on a hill overlooking a village held by ISIS. Clearly one of the crazier things I've ever decided to do. And it was because of the unusual nature of this that it got a lot of attention, a lot of media. And my favorite one was when Bill Maher did a big thing on me during his show, and he called me the idiot folk singer from Portland. And the only part of that I was offended by was being called a folk singer. But it really caught the moment. And once again, millions of people stopped and they prayed. And two things that happened that I want to talk about, just because it shows the power of this joined intention or prayer. The first was that, so here we are on a hill, and there were a number of people who came with us, maybe about 100 people, Israelis, Palestinians, Christians, imams, priests, ministers, rabbis. We were all there on this hill and looking down on a village where the war was literally going on in that moment. And when the time came for us to hold silence, everyone sat down somewhere, and we focused in, and knowing that there were millions of people around the world doing the same thing. And we were holding that peace, holding that silence. And I was looking at my watch, because I was going to be the one to bring us out of the meditation with an om. So I'm looking at my watch. The 15 minutes has just ended. I'm literally taking a breath to begin the om. But before any sound comes out of my mouth, maybe 200 feet below us, suddenly a wolf begins to howl, and then two wolves, and then five wolves, and then a whole pack of wolves are howling for exactly 1 minute, and then they stop. And that's how the prayer vigil ended. And then, you know, of course, even though we still are working to complete this process of peace in Syria, it was only 5 days after that, once again, against all expectations, that the peace talks began in Munich. So the point I'm trying to make is that when we come to, whether we're coming together in a, excuse me, when we're coming together in mass numbers, like we did in those situations, or when we're just meditating or feeling that presence on our own, the key to activating the power of prayer is to feel the energy of this has already happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to share, that we're not asking for something. We're not asking for peace in Syria. We're not asking for abundance in our own life. We're not asking for anything. Well, the only thing we're asking is that the blocks to our awareness of love, of abundance, of peace, the blocks to our awareness of, excuse me, I'm going to get a drink of water, that the blocks of our awareness of those things be removed. And that's why Jesus says this in the introduction of A Course in Miracles, that's all we're really asking is for the blocks to be removed, not to have something that, not to create something that we don't have already. It's already there. We just need to remove the blocks to me, that's the key to the power of prayer, is to simply relax, be quiet, and listen to the sound of that voice of oneness within each one of us, and to allow those blocks to be removed.
Exactly. So beautifully said and demonstrated. Yes, we seek not for love, but to remove the blocks mm-hmm. of our own heart, the things that we cling to that are the blocks
right.
to love. Yeah. And that's
mm-hmm. I was just going to say, and how simple is salvation?
Indeed. You know, it's, in a sense, it sounds crazy to me, but I follow my guidance, whether it sounds crazy or not. And so you've given us these beautiful examples of the power of prayer, where it's so clear that there is a result that is happening in the mind and translating into the world of form through the power of prayer on this global scale. I wonder if you could give us an example, Jimmy, from just your own personal life and relationships, because sometimes people say, okay, yeah, I could see where it would work for world peace, but can it work for me when I'm having a challenge with my spouse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny that we would do that, that we can take it out into the macro and say, okay, I can see where it would work to stop a war, but how does it heal my relationships?
Right.
And what I immediately feel is that laughter, that joy. And I feel like that's what, if Jesus were here with us right now, that's what he would be doing. He would be laughing, saying, how interesting that you think that they're two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of realizing that they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is no world out there that is being healed. It's all you. It's all about not those relationships that you think that you have between yourself and other people, because there are no other people. The only relationship that is being healed is that single relationship between you and your Creator that you for a moment have perceived to be separate from you. And so whether it be doing something massive like a world synchronized meditation, or whether it be just dealing with the relationships from my own life, it really is the same answer, which is to realize that I have but to surrender. I have to let go. And like we were saying before, to realize that on my own I can do nothing, and ask for guidance. Because as soon as we're asking those questions, well, how do I do this or how do I do that? Then what we've done is we've believed in the power of two rather than the power of one.
Mm-hmm.
Because where there are two, then there are three, then four, then infinity, and everything is outside of us. But the truth is there is only one. And that's the experience that we were talking about before. And I can be in a situation where I'm having a difficulty with a relationship. I'm encountering issues with my finances or whatever the specifics may be. And trust me, I go through them just like anyone else does. But what I am called to do in the midst of those is to remember that none of those are real problems. They're manifestations of the only problem that I could ever have, which is to believe that I am separate from the all, from my Creator, however you want to think of that. And what is the answer then? To be still and listen to God's voice. To be still and listen to the guidance that you're given, which is always leading you back. We're all like the prodigal son who went off to a foreign land thinking we could make it on our own, and before we know it, we've squandered the father's wealth and we're left eating with the pigs, until we have enough sense to realize that even if I went back and acted as my father's servant, even then I would be living better than I am now. And then the journey home begins. And that's the journey that we're all on, is the journey back home. And the beautiful thing that happens when we get within sight of that home or in sight of that experience, we thought for a moment that we did something wrong and that we would have to repay that wrong, that we would have to be punished in some way. But just like with the prodigal son, the father comes out and greets the son when he's still a long distance away and puts sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger and kills the fatted calf, because the father in the story doesn't perceive that anything ever happened, because the father did not put his value in the money that was squandered, but in the son itself. And so that's what we are all called to do, is to realize that all these problems that we think we have, you know, all the specifics, they're there to distract us from what is true. And all we need to do is in that moment to hold still, to ask for guidance. And that guidance is always going to be to take us away from the specifics into the understanding and the experience that there's only one thing going on here.
Well said. Well said. And what this brings up to me, Jimmy, is the topic of order of difficulty and different levels, and that we can get caught in that thinking that there are different levels. Like, oh, it's much easier to heal this thing with prayer than that thing. What would you say to somebody who is feeling that, oh, you know, hey, I've got a terminal cancer diagnosis, man. I just don't, I don't see, it's different when you want to just heal a relationship, but healing this is, this is in the body. Yeah.
Well, that's a tricky one, because this is, if we want to think of an ego or that part with that we all have that's trying to edge out the experience of our oneness, then it makes total sense to imagine that one thing is harder than another, and something like cancer would be harder than healing the relationship. And that's why once it all really comes back to letting go of all of those ideas and then being still and then listening. The power of prayer is just in the listening to the guidance that comes to us every moment. And the experience of that, we've really focused on experience, a lot in this call, because it's the experience that we're calling forward, not an intellectual decision or an intellectual idea, but to enter into the experience of realizing that there is no difficulty in miracles. We can say that, and we can read that, but it makes no sense to us ultimately until we have the experience of that. And the experience is not something that we can create. However, the experience is something that we can allow. That's the important thing. I can't force myself to have an experience, but I can step back to the point that the experience is automatic. And that just means to let go, to surrender, to trust, to be grateful for whatever is showing up in this moment. And then the experience just falls in all around us. And the experience is nothing more than I am one with God, and that none of these problems mean anything, really, whether it be cancer or anything else. If I am one with God, then that's the only thing that really counts. So it does seem, our ego is going to make it seem like a whole hierarchical sort of view of difficulty. This is more difficult than something else. This is more important than something else. But the experience leads us into the realization that it's all the same.
Indeed. And so the one of the traps of the ego is that it's always going to be the meaning that we make of things, our interpretation. Mm-hmm. And so we fall into all these kinds of interpretations, and one of them that we deal with when it comes to prayer is we're praying to change something in the world. It's so many people, when they're praying to change something in the world. The motivation is to have things be different. Of Course in Miracles tells us to be miracle-minded, and that a miracle is actually not something that happens in the world.
Yeah.
So can you help us understand that?
Well, this is something I talk a lot about in the midst of these worldwide meditations, because it seems like we're asking for something to change in Syria, or it seems like in the case of our next meditation, which takes place on November 6th, that we're asking for a particular outcome in the U.S. presidential election. But that isn't really it at all. What we're really allowing, we're not asking for anything, we're allowing for the highest good to be done, and we're trusting that. So in the case of the presidential election, as much as I would like to say who I want you to vote for and who I don't want you to vote for, I won't even say here, but as much as I would like to believe that the solution is in my idea of who should or should not win, that has really nothing to do with the real solution, because there is a solution that is happening right now already. That's the key. It's already happening. I just have to remove those blocks to the experience of that happening. And what it looks like in form ultimately will make no difference, because it's my allowing the experience of this to take hold of me that really means something. So it really is about just getting out of the way and allowing the highest good to be done. And when we allow the highest good to be done, then everything else falls into place as it should, in a way that would be of the highest good for everyone. Because I have taken away my judgment about what that should look like. And it really keeps coming back to those, the three words that I love the most, which are surrender, trust, and gratitude. I have to surrender what I think needs to happen. I need to trust what's happening in this moment, and I need to be grateful no matter what it looks like. If I can do that, then I will always be in the right place. I will always say the right things. I will always be in that experience that we've been describing here, and then the details won't matter.
Yes, that's beautifully said. That's a perfect and beautiful practice, surrender, trust, and gratitude. And so Course tells us everything works together for good. There are no exceptions. It tells us that everything is a lesson God would have me learn. And still, I feel it's really important for us to realize that we're not just being passive, that this world is a manifestation of our thinking, of our beliefs. So if we don't like what we see in the world, then we change our mind about the world. And that's where sometimes I think A Course in Miracles students say, well, yeah, of course I don't like this situation, I don't like this world, but what can I do? What can I do? And they will even forget that they can change their mind about it.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer, to me, it helps me to change my mind about it. It helps me to relinquish the all attachments to looking at the world of form and saying, oh, I don't like that. Oh, that's not good. And prayer takes me back to it's all good. And let me see that. Let me see that manifesting.
Yeah.
So there's that thing about being passive sometimes. Because this whole series is called It's Time to Rise and Shine, Taking Spiritual Action. So I wonder if you could speak to that about really being active in our prayer and not being passive.
You know, one of the things that came to me as you were talking, Jennifer, is that I'm being called to fall in love with whatever is present in this moment, regardless of what it looks like.
Mm.
To fall in love with it. That's what it means to just allow the good to be done, to fall in love with it no matter what it looks like. And that can be very hard for us. I'll be very honest. I'm being very challenged with that these days, lately, because of this election. It has been really challenging me to surrender into everything we're talking about here, because there is a part of me that looks at what's happening and says, that's wrong. That shouldn't be happening. We can't allow that. All of these self-righteous ideas of what I think needs to happen. But what we're really being called to do is to fall in love with the moment, no matter what it looks like. Just like we would be totally in love with a two-year-old child when they're acting up. We don't like it necessarily, but we can look at that child and say, this is the stage of growth that this child is in. How can I do anything but love this? And of course, the more we do love it, the more we allow the highest good to be done for all.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to try and change anything. I can just be in that spirit of love and forgiveness, like your friend said. Love it all. Fall in love with every part of it. And for me right now, that has to do with falling in love with Donald Trump. And it has to do with falling in love with all the rhetoric that is swimming around in this election. And ultimately what that brings me to the experience of is that Donald Trump is no different than me. There is no Donald Trump, just like there's no Jimmy Twyman or Jennifer McClain. There's only the Christ expressing himself right now. And that is ultimately what I'm in love with. I'm so in love with the Christ expressing itself, even as Donald Trump, because that allows me to dissolve. That brings us back to that solvent. That allows me to dissolve all of those things that seem to make me different or separate from Donald Trump or Jennifer McClain or anyone else. And allows me to realize that all I'm looking upon is the Christ. And that's all I want to see. But that's only going to happen if I fall in love with it, no matter what it looks like.
Well, that's it. That's it. That whenever something in the world seems to bother us, it's not what's happening in the world. What's happening in the world is a gift to let us remember that I'm holding a grievance. I've got a grievance that's my little treasure, and whoever it is in the world that's triggering me is giving me it's like an angel come to help me to relinquish the blocks to love so I can be free. So anyone who's ever triggering me in any way whatsoever has come to help me be free.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There's a song that I wrote years ago called Entertaining Angels. And the very first part of it goes, I'm entertaining angels. I'm opening the door. Everyone who comes to me is an angel to adore. And that's really the attitude, to realize that every person, every experience, no matter what they look like, no matter what they say, no matter what, this is really the key to A Course in Miracles. This may be the single key that totally opens it up for us. Those words, no matter what, I'm going to do this. No matter what, I'm going to love. No matter what, I'm going to forgive. No matter what, I'm going to see the Christ in front of me every moment. Because if I can do that no matter what, then I will be in that experience of my own Christhood. I'm not going to be entertaining concepts of what the Christhood is. That's crazy. I don't care about my or your or anyone's ideas of what the Christhood is. I want to be in the Christhood, and that happens no matter what.
Yes, it reminds me of my favorite lesson in the workbook, which is love holds no grievances.
Mm-hmm.
And that how can I be my true self? How can I be fully empowered and hold this grievance? I cannot. And
that's one of my favorite songs from the musical workbook, Love Holds No Grievances. It's a real rocker, that one. It's a great one to dance to.
Well, that's the thing, is we treasure our grievances. We cherish them. We don't want to give them up. And prayer to me is for that surrender that you talked about earlier. And what better way to surrender than to give the grievances away to the higher Holy Spirit self and just say, please take these out of my mind. I'm not interested in them anymore. no more blocks to love, only the free flow of love for me. That's all I'm interested in. And that's my constant prayer. It's just, oh, here's another one. And I, speaking of rocker, sometimes I sing that song, the Queen song, Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah, right.
When I give up the grievances. Yeah.
I'll just try that one. One of the things that I like to sing, a Queen song that helps me remember is, and this is such a high teaching, I'll just sing, nothing really matters, anyone can see, nothing really matters, nothing really matters to me.
Yeah.
Music can be such a great teacher.
Indeed. It's, as you were saying before, it's a heart opener. It really gets us into that place of surrender and faith and willingness. And for me, I like to speak my prayers out loud. So even when I'm alone, I speak my prayers out loud. Do you have any thoughts about whether it's more helpful or valuable to speak our prayers out loud?
I think something like that is going to be very individual. Some people are going to really resonate with that, and they're going to feel the power in the spoken word. And I can relate to that. And other people are going to go to that still, quiet place and just not even use words at all. Their prayer is mm-hmm. going to be more of a feeling and mm-hmm. more of a meditation. So I just tell people, experiment. See what works for you. See what inspires you. See what brings forth the experience of that union. And whatever works for you, go with it. It doesn't matter if it works for somebody else. You know, for you, it might be jogging. It might just be feeling the presence while you jog. That's not for me. That wouldn't work for me. So just experiment, make it a game, get into it and just try different things and see what works and see what's going to really take you into that deep place and then stick with that.
Yes. And as you know, being so involved in the Unity Church Network and having been involved in New Thought for decades now, and me too, In New Thought, we talk about the power of our thought and the power of our word, and that don't speak about or think about things you don't wish to bring about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things for many people is they're split in their mind in that, especially spiritual students, they can be very split about this where they'll realize, oh, I'm only going to affirm the positive. I'm only going to affirm the positive. But then they actually are berating themselves and chastising themselves and
mm-hmm.
not quite realizing that it's not just the words you speak out loud. It's also the words that you think, and that, in a sense, every thought we think and everything that we say is in its way a prayer.
Exactly. Thought is a prayer. And every word we speak is a prayer. And it's not about being a thought Nazi and judging ourselves and attacking ourselves every time we think a thought that maybe we believe would be not as high as
mm-hmm.
another thought. But to stay in that place that your friend talked about, that everything is just about love and forgiveness, and to be willing to love and forgive myself, once again, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. No matter what, I'm going to focus on just being present with those positive prayers that are coming through me every moment. And when I act like a human being and I have a thought that may not be so aligned, that's okay too. Don't beat yourself up. Don't throw the rest of it away because of that. Just
yeah.
Say, okay, start again. So Jesus says over and over again, just start again. And if we just treat it like we would a child's game, then there's a joy even in that. Even when we falter, it becomes a game. Oh, okay, here we go. Start again, start again. And then there's a joy that's present no matter what. I guess that's the theme of our talk here today, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and it's that, you know, as you're sharing there, Jimmy, what I'm reminded of is that this journey, we can talk about it as surrender, and it's also humility.
Mm-hmm.
Constant humility.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And humility is when we know that we're not better than anyone, we're not less than anyone, because we're one with everyone. So there is no better than or less than. And so the humility to start again, and again and again many times a day, it does require humility.
It sure does. And I think this is one of the benchmarks of a truly mature spiritual person.
Mm.
And we see this in all of our true spiritual teachers. The one that comes to mind immediately for me is Pope Francis.
Mm.
Talk about a truly spiritual man, someone who comes into such a dysfunctional institution as the Roman Catholic Church. And I can speak about that because I'm a former Franciscan, so I've seen it close up.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here comes this man of true prayer, of true humility. The first thing he asks the billion Catholics in the world when he becomes Pope is, please pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to choose the name of Francis, to be the first Pope named Francis, because he is so aligned with the greatest advocate of humility, Francis of Assisi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people like Pope Francis, Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama, I mean, the higher they ascend in their own spiritual experience, the more humble they become. And that's why when you meet someone who says, I'm the one to follow, I'm the one who has it, run. But when you meet someone who says, I'm just here reflecting your beauty, your grace, your enlightenment, that's the one to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, our hour has gone by very quickly, and we're going to close out here in just a couple minutes. It's very inspiring to talk about prayer, and for me, even just to contemplate prayer, I get excited and inspired.
Yeah.
And you have many resources because you're a true Renaissance man with your music and your speaking, your teaching, your writing, your filmmaking, and all the many different things that you do. I would love to point people towards ways that they can look at what you're doing and get involved in what you're doing. Can you tell us how to do that?
Well, the easiest way would just be to go to my website, which is either jamestwyman.com, T-W-Y-M-A-N, or the same will take you to the same place, worldpeacepulse.com. That will be the place to really be alerted when we're doing these worldwide meditations, for example, the one that's coming up in just a couple of weeks for the election. We're asking people all over the world to stop and to focus on the highest good being done in this presidential election. It's going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern time on November 6th, just a few days before the election. And that's going to be remarkable. I will be at the Celebrate Your Life conference at that time in Scottsdale, Arizona. So if any of you are near Scottsdale, please come and join us live. It's an amazing conference. It has most of the greatest spiritual leaders in the world at it. So I'm just so happy to be there. But yeah, go to jamestwyman.com. That I think is the best way for us to keep in touch. That way when things happen, and sometimes they happen very fast, that's a great way for us just to let people know, get to people quickly, and motivate people to do everything that we've been talking about here today.
Beautiful. And I want to remind people that you have recorded all the Course in Miracles workbook lessons in song, and you're finishing up doing the text, and people can find that through your website as well. And that you're also hosting this conference in Easter.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be there, yeah, too. Do you want to tell people about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me about that. We're so excited that we're going to be having hundreds of people coming together in April on Easter weekend.
Yes.
What a great way to celebrate Easter than to come together to celebrate the resurrection of our own consciousness. And that's going to be happening. It's right outside Salt Lake City. Some really great people like David Hoffmeister and Bill Free, Lisa Natoli, of course, Jennifer, Marie Felipe, who else? Vicky Poppy, Dove Fishman, John Mundy. So many of the great teachers that we all know and love will be there. And if you want to get more information on that, go to acimeasterconference.com, acimeasterconference.com. Join us for that. That is going to be such a great gathering, and it's going to be completely focused on the experience of awakening. You know, many of us enjoy going to the conference that Tony Ponticello does every year or every other year, but he's not doing one in 2017, so that's the reason why we decided to have this conference, so that there would be a way to gather the tribe during the year, and we couldn't think of a better time to do it than Easter weekend. So come celebrate Easter with us.
Yes, yes. It's going to be a spiritual hootenanny.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, it will be.
And I love doing retreats on Easter. I've done them many times. It's a wonderful, obviously, we're focusing that Christ energy in our own hearts and minds, and it's always off the charts with healing. So it's a great opportunity to come and get your healing on with like-minded souls. We're going to have an absolute blast. Yes,
amen.
Indeed. Amen. Well, speaking of amen, I am going to close us out here with a prayer. And just before I do that, I would like to say thank you, Jimmy. You have such a full schedule. I really appreciate your taking time out to be with us today and speak about this power of prayer.
Mm-hmm. It was my honor. Thank you so much for having me here, Jennifer. And thank you for all the work that you do spreading this beautiful word. You do such a magnificent job.
Oh, thank you. Well, as you know, it's my pleasure and my joy, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
It's true. It's we were saying this before we started the class, that we're both so inspired by the teachings. We have so much energy to just share and share and share, and it's a blessing.
It sure is.
Every time we get to share, I know this is true for me, every time I get to share, I learn something. I'm more my true self after every class and every offering. So
yes,
it's a blessing for me in so many ways.
Yes.
So let's take that breath of love and gratitude together. I invite everyone to place their hand on their heart as we remember that we're not just paying lip service here, we're wholeheartedly available to have a healing right now, right in this very moment. So we partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self to once again remember and recognize that we're already perfect, we're already free, we're already our true identity. We are grateful and thankful to surrender all blocks to love. We're opening our mind and we are willing to have a healing right now. We're willing to surrender all the blocks to love and to remember only the truth that sets us free. We are grateful that every moment of every day we share the benefits of our spiritual practice, our prayers, our healing with everyone because we're one with them. So grateful and so thankful to to know that we are blessed and we are a blessing. In gratitude, we let the blessings be. We know it is done, and so it is. Amen.
So it is. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again. God bless you. Mwah.
Thank you. Love to everyone.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.